Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls. Here we go. Headlines on a Tuesday night right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM. Brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Can you feel it now?
Yeah, been a while since we heard that clip, huh?
Yes, indeed.
VenueKings.com, by the way, has tickets for both Paul McCartney tonight and the Pumas match for tomorrow. You can get both of them at a great, great rate, by the way, because tickets are dropping like flies for both events on the website. Be sure and use code SOFTY at checkout for a discount either way. News from Husky football. First, it was Jacoby Covington, defensive back, entering the transfer portal. Now, running back Caleb Berry also announcing today he will enter the portal and look for a better deal somewhere else.
You think Boston was a little bit ticked that they lost game one to Milwaukee at home? They're up 65-40 at halftime of game number two, just routing Giannis and the crew. And then later on at 6:30 today, Warriors at Grizzlies. Warriors minus two, Dave. What's your...
I like Golden State.
I like Memphis. I'm Memphis, even this up.
You and me, let's make a gentleman's
let's
bet.
Let's make a gentleman's
loser
bet
gets to shave the other guy's wife's head. How's that sound?
Sure.
On live radio.
That sounds great. I mean, we don't need to ask them about that at all.
NHL Rangers lead the Penguins 1-0 in the Eastern first-round playoff series there. Capitals lead the Panthers 1-0. Also, game one of that playoff series. Predators, Avalanche... coming up at 6:30 in Game 1 in the West, and the Stars and Flames also in Game 1 at 7 o'clock tonight from Calgary.
Ronnie Francis said today that the Coachella Valley Firebirds will begin their inaugural season here in Seattle while their arena in the desert and practice rink are being completed.
Really?
You don't say.
And then all of us get free tickets to go to Palm Springs for Game number 2.
Wonderful.
NCAA football, Pittsburgh star wide receiver Jordan Addison, who was the Biletnikoff Award winner, is the best receiver in college football and an All-American, announcing he's going to enter the transfer portal and transfer away from Pittsburgh. Let's get to John Wilner right now.
It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
All right, my friends at Simply Seattle have done it again. They got Storm tickets for Friday night. And by the way, they're also going to promise to give you seats on Dick Fane's lap as he calls the game on Friday night. Is that on Root or Joe or whatever it is?
Fox Plus, which used to be Joe TV.
All right.
So that's your old Comcast 110, right?
Everything's a plus now. It's
No Joe TV. It's now Fox Plus.
I like that. Wow, don't say that very fast.
Fox
Fox Plus TV. they got a deal where you buy $50 worth of stuff, by the way, on the website at Simply Seattle. You'll get a free ticket for the Storm game on Friday night as they open up Climate Pledge Arena against Minnesota, don't you know? So check that deal out right now at SimplySeattle.com. Here he is, John Wilner. And, John, we're hearing rumors that you may be entering the transfer portal looking to leave this radio show for a better deal with somebody else. Is that true?
yeah, that could be. I'm getting it. But before I enter the portal officially, I'm going to try to get everything worked out. So it makes it a much easier process once I'm in there.
Yeah, the portal's a very tight place,
though. I was going to tell you guys that I haven't looked at the transfer portal in the last 15 minutes, so I have no idea what's going on in college football.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how fast it works.
The last 5 minutes is all you need. Well, Caleb Berry, running back for UW, Jacoby Covington, defensive back, are leaving. And I don't know. I actually think that Kalen DeBoer has done pretty well with the portal. I thought there was a chance it could be worse than this because you're talking about a bunch of Peterson and Jimmy Lake guys that are now, you know, just playing for a whole new system, whole new approach. And he's lost a couple of guys. Terrell Bynum to USC, obviously. Jackson Sermon took took off, but nothing of really gigantic. I mean,
Taki's probably
Taki to Oregon, thank you, was the biggest one. But outside of that, it's not like a mass exodus. So, I mean, you should be given grades for coaches on how they handle the portal when it comes to keeping their own guys, because now that's a factor. How can you even recruit your own players from year to year?
That's the first thing you've got to do, is recruit your guys, especially when you're a new coach. I mean, Colorado had a problem. Carl Durrell didn't do that when the season ended, and he lost, like, his five best players because he just basically whiffed on making sure those guys were happy. No, I agree. I think DeBoer has done well in, you know, it's been more of a trickle than an exodus in terms of the impact players for them. And, you know, it's very possible that they got their starting quarterback in the portal. So if you can do that, you're a winner. We'll have to see how that plays out.
Does recruiting your area hard, the old put a fence around the state emphasis, does that even matter anymore when you can just buy a kid from any state you want if you've got the money?
I think it still matters to a certain degree, because a lot of kids are still with, you know, if the money's not exact, you know, some kids are going to want to stay close to home, I think. But what you can do now with the transfer portal is you can get guys on the rebound, right? I mean, you can get guys, say a kid from Seattle, maybe a receiver or a defensive lineman who's from Seattle and happens to go to school in the Big Ten. Maybe after a year or two, they're, you know, they're not thrilled and they want to come back home. And so, you know, that's now a much bigger, better option for schools on the West Coast that lose their guys initially, is to get them on transfers.
Yeah. Is Lincoln Riley in trouble for tinkering with this kid from Pittsburgh? I saw the Pittsburgh head coach. Is it Narduzzi? Is that right? Pat Narduzzi is pissed off at Lincoln Riley for sticking his dirty paws inside the Pittsburgh portal and maybe trying to convince Jordan Addison to leave before it became official. Is he in any trouble there? And how much of a problem do you think that'll be with, you know, coaches actually contacting players either directly or indirectly before they actually enter the portal?
Well, I mean, it's going on. There's tamper going on all over the place. I don't think Riley is going to be in any trouble in this. There is hard evidence that a member of the USC coaching staff, you know, did what Pittsburgh is accused him of. The thing that complicates it on Pittsburgh's end is Addison is buddies with Caleb Williams. They're both from the D.C. area.
Wow.
So Caleb Williams, you know, could easily, and I'm pretty sure this is what happened, Caleb Williams initiated the situation, right? There's no way you can stop that from happening. So unless Pitt's got hard evidence, I don't think Lincoln Riley is going to be in trouble. And I think that what's happened here is happened in a lot of places. It's just there aren't as many high-profile players as Addison, so that's why
right.
Become this firestorm.
Yeah, because there's nothing that's keeping players from talking to players, right? I mean, if
no,
Caleb Williams
no.
and Jordan Addison grew up together and they're buddies, and Jordan just casually mentions over a Zoom call, hey, man, I'm thinking about leaving, and Caleb says, come on over to USC, that's totally above board, right?
Absolutely. There's nothing you can do to prevent players from recruiting other players. Nothing. And, you know, that happens. That's been happening, you know, forever, before the portal was even a factor, that happened.
John, are we going to get recruiting sites to start fudging on the number of stars they give players due to pressure from player reps? They're like, you better give my guy a 5-star.
Yeah, I think that is one of the potential consequences of this whole NIL thing, right? Because a lot of the deals that the boosters are offering recruits in a pay-for-play scheme, the amount of the deal is based on how coveted the recruit is. And the star system is a big indicator for how coveted the recruit is. So, you know, you got a guy who's representing, you know, he's tight with a quarterback in L.A. If he can get that quarterback a 5-star rating instead of a 4-star rating by pressuring the recruiting services, then that quarterback is going to be worth more money through NIL than if he was a 4-star. So the trickle-down repercussions of this are, you know, everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, I hadn't even thought about that, Dick, about that aspect. I mean, if you're an agent and you go, I mean, look, obviously you hope those guys have, you know, some morals and don't just start
getting paid. Well, like, hey, I'll give you $50,000 if you give this guy a 5-star.
Well, you're basically talking about guys like Brandon Huffman and Greg Biggins, and that would be just disappointing. I'm not saying
it's going to happen.
I know those guys, and I can't imagine them doing something like that, but you're exactly right, John. The more stars these guys get, the more money they're going to make. The Huskies wrapped up spring ball over the weekend, and the offense looked functional. I have no idea how much you caught of this on the Pac-12 network with Nigel and Lincoln, but you kind of teased last week that you weren't totally convinced that Michael Penix was going to be the starting quarterback at UW. Has anything changed in that regard for you?
No, not really. I should say also, I've known Biggins and Huffman for a long time, and I don't, you know, I'm not saying that they are going to fall prey to that, but I think that is how the system will create that pressure, especially in the Southeast, right? We all know that's where everything starts on the recruiting shenanigan front. But as for the Huskies, you know, I give Penix probably the edge. You know, I watched that game. I frankly wasn't blown away by anybody, really. And I'm still, I guess I shouldn't be surprised Jordan Morris is still there. I kind of figured he was going to be gone by now, but, you know, he's, who knows what's going to happen. I'm not overwhelmed by any of them.
What do you think UW needs to do, or any team for that matter, that doesn't get a lot of fans to their spring game? What do they need to do to spice up the spring game a little bit? Or is it just a matter of getting a good football team and playing a real game?
It is winning and then having a team that's got big expectations. I mean, Washington's season last year was, you know, the poster child for drawing 10 people to your spring game, right? Yeah. I mean, exactly what you don't want to have happen. So, you expect it. And plus the weather was bad that day, if I remember correctly, right? So, you know, it's going to happen. You come off a 9-10 win season and you got some star players and there's energy, then you get 20,000-25,000 in the stadium. But Huskies were in a tough spot coming off that season.
Yeah, all right, John Wilner with us, courtesy of our friends at SimplySeattle.com. I'm wondering about this conference, and I'm wondering about the sports gambling perspective, because I saw you post a tweet from Sam McQuillan about California's online sports betting initiative backed by DraftKings, FanDuel, and BetMGM is now qualified for the November ballot. What does that mean for California sports gambling, and what does this potentially mean for a Pac-12 who's got their offices based in California?
Well, it is a big step in terms of California getting on board with so many other states with legalized betting, and in our case, you know, on college sports. California has been much slower to move than other states, right? In the Pac-12 footprint, and there's 40 million people. It's a gold mine, right? If you can bet on college football, and then the Pac-12 stands to make a lot of money off that by selling its data, its statistical data, to the gambling sites who can use it for real-time betting. That is kind of the next untapped revenue stream for college conferences, is the sale of gambling data. Now, in order to do that, the presidents and chancellors are going to have to be okay with selling statistical data to gambling sites, right? That goes against, you know, decades of college athletic ethics. But bottom line is, cash is cash, and gambling is legal nationwide. So I would expect the Pac-12 at some point is going to get to that point, and it's going to be worth millions of dollars to the conference once they sell that data.
John, I got one Husky Hoops question for you. What does Emmett Matthews transferring tell you about the state of the UW's program? Because he stood to be potentially the leading scorer on this team.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of inside info on that. I was a little surprised to see it.
Yeah.
Especially because, right, 1 year he was at West Virginia, right? He goes to school all the way across the country, West Virginia, comes back to Seattle.
Right.
I mean, maybe it's an NIL deal, right? I mean, that's the potential source of every move.
I mean, is that really what this has come down to? That the potential source of every single move is driven by how much a guy can get somewhere else?
It could be, right? Yeah. I mean, I do think, you know, if you're just looking at the personnel, Huskies plus minus on personnel turnover this offseason, I would argue you know, in terms of the transfer portal, they might be plus, because I think Big Frank is going to really help them, especially in that zone defense, right? And they're going to have to replace Matthews' production, but you get a rim protector like that, and that's going to help.
Yeah. All right, man. Listen, great stuff, and why don't you stand by and jump on at 5:30 when something new happens with the transfer portal, all right?
Today's the day, because the kids had to, by May 1st, they had to get the paperwork done. The schools had 2 business days
yep.
to get those names into the portal. So by the close of business today, we'll know who's in the portal. Right. We won't know where everybody's going, but we'll know who's in.
All right, man. Great stuff, buddy. Appreciate this. We'll talk in a week. See you, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Big thanks to our friends at SimplySeattle.com. Be sure and use code SOFTY10 at checkout for 10% off anything on the website. And, yeah, so this kid, Jordan Addison from Pittsburgh, he's the Biletnikoff Award winner from last year. 100 catches, 1,593 yards, 17 touchdowns. He was an All-American, but he's only a sophomore. He's only played 2 years in college football, so he can't go to the NFL yet. And so he's in the portal. And everybody is, you know, surmising, including Colin Cowherd, that he's basically – what he's doing is he's making himself a free agent.
Yes.
That's exactly what he's doing. He's just – he's getting out of a contract that he can get out of, and he's going to go to the highest bidder and make himself the most money possible. Now, maybe he takes a little bit less to go to a different program. I got no idea. Like, for example, if Wake Forest said, hey – USC is going to give you 3. Here's 3.5. He may say, yeah, you know, I'm still better off going to play for USC and my buddy Caleb Williams. But he's going to get a deal. He will get something to go somewhere, and these players are now able to make themselves free agents. The more sought after they are, the better players that they are, the more impactful that they are, the more money they're going to get. We have introduced literally free agency in college football and in basketball.
And unfortunately,
whether you like it or not.
And I don't. You know that. Unfortunately, what it was supposed to be, it was supposed to be a free enterprise for people to market their name, image, and likeness. And if their name, image, and likeness was big enough to make revenue from autograph signings, you know, Drew Timmy doing Northern Quest casino commercials, that sort of thing, that's one thing. And I have always been a proponent of that, the free market enterprise of them being able to make some money because they're famous. Mm-hmm. And this, paying $3 million for, you know, at least this kid's produced on the field.
Right.
I mean, that's a little bit less bad than a kid just coming out of high school that's never caught a pass in college football before making $1 million.
I mean, bad for who, though, right? I mean, maybe bad for the game. Maybe.
It's totally bad for the game.
Maybe bad for the game. I don't know. I mean, I think it's great for the kids, though, really. I mean, I just think in – again,
was it so bad for the kids before? I mean,
no, I don't think it was bad for the kid. No, but I think it's even better now. I mean, anytime you can have more opportunities, anytime you can have more of a steady stream of income, anytime you can cash in and make more money and take advantage of your name and your image and your likeness and open up another avenue for yourself, I think it's great. I think for them, it's awesome. But I also admit that it might be bad for the game, and it's turning a lot of people off. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, whether Graz or Grass or anybody likes it or not, there are a lot of people that are doing exactly what you're doing right now, and they are rolling their eyes at everything that's happening with college football. And I think that the worse teams perform, the more fans are apt to say the hell with this. If my team's not winning, and this is what the sport has become, hey, it's great for the individual. But the sum of the parts, I think, is suffering because the fan bases are getting turned off by this. I saw our guys from West Coast Football put out a poll, you know, asking fans if NIL was making them more or less interested. And it was like overwhelmingly 90% less interested in college football. So, again, it can be great for the kids, but also be a turnoff for a lot of people at the same time.
But what's frustrating is it could have been good for both. If they would have done this, if they would have been prepared for this and done this the right way, where with strict regulations, where kids are making money on their name, image, and likeness, it would have been better for them than what they had before, and it would have also left college football largely unchanged.
But I don't know if the NCAA can even get away with that. That's the problem, and that's what people have been debating.
The antitrust.
The NIL laws are different from state to state. Yep. That's part of the issue here. This is why guys like Wilner have been coming on the air saying for months that the NCAA is begging Congress to get involved, begging the U.S. government to get involved. And, you know, they got bigger fish to fry than this. right? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, you idiots figure it out, and they can't figure it out because every state has different rules, and they are scared you-know-whatless to start enforcing something that potentially takes money out of a kid's pocket. It's amazing how this stuff has changed. Like, for example, you know, this is just a smaller kind of way down the list of the NIL tree, but you know, like, college football, at least places like Washington, have had a rule where freshmen can't talk to the media.
Yes.
Right? That's over with. If you and I and a advertiser wants to pay a freshman money to come on the radio station every week, the school can't stop them.
But is that the only way we can get them, though?
Well, we can. What because do you mean only way? On campus, they can control it. On campus, when they do like media availabilities and things like right. that, they can dictate who they bring out, who they don't bring out to meet the press. But if you and I want to have a freshman on this UW football team do a weekly program
we have
with
to pay
you,
him.
Well, we have well, we or he can do it for free, and we can just say, hey, we'll throw your name up on the radio, and that's good enough for you. But, I mean, that's between us, right?
Right.
Whatever he gets is between us. I'm saying that the schools don't have that kind of authority anymore. They just don't. Now, the kids, if you know they want to be a part of the program and don't want to rock the boat, may say, hey, coach doesn't want me to do it, so I'm not going to do it.
I always thought it was stunning that you couldn't even talk to the starting quarterback at the University of Washington because
right.
he was a freshman.
Can't do it.
Couldn't do it with Browning, couldn't do it with Morris.
Now the coaches have no control over that whatsoever. They don't, because the kids can go do whatever the hell they want to do. It's wacky. And again, I agree with you. I think it's turning a lot of people off, but I also think at the same time, for a lot of these families, you look at it from an individual perspective, some of these families have a chance to make some money that could change the course of their life forever. I have no idea what Jordan Addison's background is. I got no clue. But if he's going to get $3 million, yeah, take it. Good for you. The hell? 521, Brian Schmetzer has tickets for tomorrow night's showdown with Pumas. Find out how you can win them at 545 tonight right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
This is a massive f***ing deal for the club.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Don't be confused. We're still your home for the Huskies, Kraken, and Seattle's best NFL draft coverage. It's just become more clear. Crystal clear as Seattle's only FM sports station. Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
I am.
Now back to Softy and Dick.
It did it again.
Not my fault.
Premature softylation.
I am taking pills for it, by the way. I'm seeing a doctor. It's been way more than 4 hours. Way more than 4 hours. I'm curious about this Logan Gilbert conversation we had today with Corey Brock about offering him a contract. You know, you look at, like, the money the Rays gave Wander Franco and the money the Braves gave Acuna, the money the Padres gave Fernando Tatis Jr. I don't know if anybody's done it for a pitcher yet. I mean, I'm sure it can happen, but
it's a bigger gamble.
It is, for sure. There's no question about that. It's also potentially a better deal for Logan Gilbert, right? I mean, let's say you go to Logan Gilbert and you say, okay, pal, here's the deal. You've got 4 years left after this year until free agency, right? Because he's in his second year now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you a deal. We're going to rip up arbitration, and we want to rip up the first year or maybe even the first 2 years of free agency, although they might just want to go 1 year of free agency. We're going to give you $15 million a year. We'll give you a six-year contract for $90 million. And, you know, obviously what you're giving is that if you continue to play the way you are, you're potentially losing some money on
that last
the
year.
Fifth and sixth year.
Because you'd be making 40, maybe.
If not more than that.
Yeah,
I mean,
50.
If he keeps this up, Max Scherzer is making $44 million a year.
Okay.
So in 5 years from now, he could be making $60 million. I mean, who knows what the hell that number is going to be in 5 years from now. But you're also making more money on the front end. Right? Because we're giving up your rookie contract. We're going way above arbitration, maybe what we would have given you potentially. And maybe the most important thing for him, if you blow your arm out between now and then, you're taken care of. And you got $90 million. I mean, this guy is set to make like $800,000 next year. And I believe the year after as well. So you could times that by 15, 16, 17 and give him way more money than he was set to make in the next 2 years. But the drawback is obviously you're giving up potentially a little more in arbitration and you're also giving up potentially a lot more when it comes to free agency, but you're making more money right now and you're guaranteeing yourself that you have hit the jackpot even before your third year even starts.
I think it's a no-brainer for Logan Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a good investment for the Mariners.
Why not?
It's
a no-cap league.
Right, but the money that you're not paying Logan Gilbert, you could be paying other players. And now I'm not opposed to giving him a long-term deal, but something that large for a pitcher, and a pitcher that, let's face it, has had how many starts in Major League Baseball?
29.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, that's a small sample size.
Right.
We all think Logan Gilbert is going to be very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a better chance that Logan Gilbert becomes a top five pitcher in Major League Baseball, or is there a better chance that Logan Gilbert becomes a solid number two starter
right.
on a team?
Well, but that's the thing. Even if he does become a solid number two, $15 million is not that much money. It really isn't, especially in 5 years from now.
Right.
Now, if you came to me and said, is there a better chance he becomes a top five starter, or he becomes a fourth or fifth guy, or he blows his arm out, that's when things become problematic. But
I feel
pretty comfortable saying that if Logan Gilbert stays healthy,
he's not a four or five.
He's going to be dominant.
Yeah,
he's
not
going to be a top of the rotation starter. If maybe not number one, but he's going to be number two. And 15, I mean, dude, how much money were the M's paying Yusei Kikuchi, for God's sakes?
About that.
Right, exactly. Right.
For a whole lot of nothing.
So, and I'm not even saying he would do it. You know, he may say, you know what? I trust myself. I'm going to wait until arbitration. I'm going to wait until free agency. And I feel like I'm leaving way too much money on the table. I don't know. I mean, a lot of these kids, Tatis, Acuna, Wander Franco, they are given life-altering money that guarantees them that they have nothing to worry about financially for the rest of their lives. That's what the trade-off is, that if they do continue to play well, they're giving up free agency. Like the Padres, how much money did San Diego give Fernando Tatis Jr.? What was his contract?
I've got Franco's here. It's 11 years.
Correct. Right. So they bought out everything
basically
up until free agency.
5 years of it.
And then five more years. Right? That's a lot. But he got $180 million. Is that right? $180 million?
182, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and I don't mind that as much, the Padres doing that for, or excuse me, the
Rays.
The Rays doing that
yep.
for Franco.
Right.
Because, one, there's a difference between what Wander Franco was supposed to be and what Logan Gilbert was supposed to be. Logan Gilbert was a high prospect. There's no question about that. Wander Franco was the prospect.
Right.
I mean, he was like Julio plus mm-hmm. prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's also a hitter. And the chances that Wander Franco has a career-ending injury are minuscule compared to the chances that Logan Gilbert has a career-ending injury.
Well, that's why you're not paying him $180 million. That's why he's getting less than that, right?
But yeah, like, you're only offering six for 90?
$15 million a year is what I'm paying him, which would put him top 30 in baseball right now, which means in 4 or 5 years from now, he's probably top 50. Four or 5 years from now. So, I mean, again, you know, that might not even be enough for Logan Gilbert to do it. Fernando Tatis got 14 years, $340 million from San Diego, okay?
How old is he? 23?
He's 21. He's 23 years old. He'll be 24 in January. He just turned 23. So $340 million to basically buy out everything until free agency, and then the next 7 years is what they did.
I'll be interested to see what's the first.
And that's $42.5 million. Now, if Fernando Tatis is the kind of player that people think he can be, and he went to free agency, he may have made $60 million in free agency. But I just think you get to a number, especially for him, where it's so ridiculous where you say, I got to be a moron to turn this money down. This is a third of $1 billion that they're giving me. How can I say no to that?
Yeah,
Would you be more pissed off about the money you didn't make, or more pissed off if you did not sign the contract and got hurt?
That.
I agree with you. Yes.
I think the first pitcher that does it is going to be, you know, the Steven Strasburg type that everybody looks at him coming for the last 3 years, and he's the number one pick in the draft and he's blowing everybody away.
Yeah.
And they give him kind of what you're saying, like maybe they buy out the first year or two of free agency, but I don't see him buying out 4 or 5 years of free agency just because of the nature of the beast of the pitcher.
Right,
it's just too risky.
Yeah, all these guys are getting, like, Franco got 11 years, Tatis got 14 years. How long was Acuna's contract with the Braves? They gave him a big-time deal as well in Atlanta. Let me look that up, too. He got... What did he get? He got 8 years as well. So all these guys are—they're buying out everything. They're buying out at least multiple years of free agency, mm-hmm. right? For Wander Franco, I think it was 4 years. For Tatis, it was at least 6 years, if not longer than that. And for Acuna, I believe it was 2 years of free agency. So they may not want to go that far, but I don't think it's that ridiculous to think the Mariners would at least want to have that kind of conversation with Logan Gilbert and get something done. I mean, Corey Brock suggested they do it with Julio Rodriguez. I know a lot of people, including Soto Mojo, have talked about doing it with Logan Gilbert. So I think he deserves it. It's friendly for both sides. It's a win-win for both sides. And again, you know, the idea that would you be more pissed? It's like when you sell a stock. You know, stock is, you know, grown 400%. It could go to 800%. Would you be more upset about the money that you left on the table if you sold it versus the money that you lost if
you
kept it and it fell apart?
And
I would be more pissed off about the latter.
Yes.
I'm totally with you.
I would.
All right, 538, Brian Schmetzer.
This is a massive deal for the club.
There we go. He's got a pair of seats for Pumas tomorrow. He'll be giving them away and talking about how they can win this thing tomorrow, right here, coming up next in your home for Sounders FC, Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for making the switch to FM with us. Seattle's only FM sports station is spreading our wings. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
It really is a catchy theme, you know that?
Of course.
Every time I hear this, I start like gyrating in my chair. It
reminds me of when I was like 4.
I'm just trying to keep the mood light here, man, because tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, it's going to be a massive effing deal.
This is a massive effing deal for the club.
Massive effing deal. And one of my questions for Brian Schmetzer, by the way, was going to be, there's two kinds of coaches, coach. There's those that say, hey, you know what? This is just another game. It's another match. We're going to approach this like we do every single match we've ever played. Nothing's different. Then there's coaches that say, no, this is a massive effing deal.
This is a massive effing deal for the club.
It's a big damn deal. And I think we kind of know where you stand on this, don't we? Because you've already said it's a massive effing deal.
Yeah, and then it just, again, it got me in trouble with my mother, my wife. I'm glad Marshawn took it to another level.
Yeah,
it's a big freaking deal, for sure, Softy.
I love it. Well, why run from it, man? It's great. Embrace the challenge of everything that comes along with this match tomorrow. Before we kind of get into the meat of our conversation here, you've got a pair of tickets for the game tomorrow night versus Pumas that you want to give away, and you got a question that you want fans to answer. So hit it with us right now.
Okay. First ever Seattle Sounders goal in Champions League was scored by who and in what year?
Wow. So you want the player and the year. Holy crap.
He wants a hardcore Sounder fan to answer this question.
First ever Sounders goal in Champions League play was scored by who and in what year? Here's what we want. We want your name. We want your email and the answer to 49451 right now. Your name, your email, and the answer to 49451 right now. Brian's making this tough on you now. He wants the name and the year of the first ever Sounders goal to be scored in Champions League play. So text in the answer right now, your name and your email to 49451, the Tullamore Dew text line, and we'll grab a winner in a matter of minutes. Well, let's talk about tomorrow night, man. What is this moment, first of all, mean for you? What does it mean for the club besides it being a massive effing deal?
Yeah, it's an opportunity. I'd put it like that. It's an opportunity for us to, you know, reward the players for the work that they do on a daily basis. It's a reward for the forward thinking of the club, the brass at the club. They want to be progressive. We want to be the best club in MLS. You know, that kind of morphed into, hey, let's be one of the best clubs in MLS, but let's also look at these regional competitions. And, you know, it's a reward for a lot of hard work by a lot of people for many years. I mean, this didn't happen overnight. I mean, we didn't see us get lucky in January and February and win a couple games, and now we're here. It's been a long road.
What does it say about this city that just sold 67,000 seats to break a CONCACAF record? There's been other MLS cities in this position in this match, and they didn't come close to 67,000.
Yeah, it's just testament to our fans, the support of our team, you know, just in general around this area. You know, World Cup bidding rights are being decided here in the next little bit. Dick, we've been a soccer town, maybe a sleepy one. I mean, look, the Seahawks, you know, I was there at the stadium looking up the banners and all that, and we've got our banners. You know, Seahawk banners are a little bigger than our banners. I mean, look, I get it. I mean, we know where we stand, but, you know, there's been a groundswell of, you know, soccer players, you know, young kids, old kids. You know, they've supported the team over the 49, 48 plus years.
Yep.
I mean, we've always had that support around here.
Well, look, if you played them 10 times, they might win 5, but not tomorrow. Tomorrow night, you shut them down because you can.
And we shut them down because we can.
I mean, you know the famous speech by Herb Brooks right before the Americans play the Russians, and I wouldn't exactly call Pumas the Russians here in this equation. You guys are pretty damn good yourself, but what's your pregame speech going to be like? Do you even need to give a passionate pregame speech for this one?
For this one, Softy, I'm going to take a little bit off the gas because the guys, you know, almost to a fault, if we're talking about the last game down in Mexico.
Right.
I mean, I just felt that their energy, they were so amped up to win that, you know, it was almost like just like, oh, and they were just wound up, and we didn't play as well as we could have or should have down there in Mexico. So I tried to talk about some certain things over the course of the week so it doesn't have to come down to one rah-rah speech right before the game. I think we've addressed everything that we needed to. And then we've got a veteran team and Steph and Nico and Raul and all those guys. They'll do it amongst themselves, which sometimes is better.
I know you would have felt like you could have won this match even if you came home down 2-0, but what did those two late goals mean, particularly that second goal that got you to the even?
Massive, massive boost. Yeah, we wouldn't have panicked at 2-1. You know, I think Raul's penalty in the 75th minute would deserve it. You know, the second one was deserved. Maybe if you're a Pumas fan, maybe it was CONCACAF by VAR. I mean, I get both sides of it. 2-1, 2-2, little bit of a difference, but a big difference. It was a psychological boost to come out of there 2-2 against a good team that was motivated themselves, big crowd down there, so really a positive.
Well, first of all, you got to turn your notifications off on your computer, by the way. And then second of all, congrats to Sam Springbob, who knew the answer was Freddie Montero in 2010. Your question was the first Sounders goal in Champions League play in what year? Freddie Montero in 2010. You remember the team you were playing, by the way, that year?
Well, it was Marathon, and it was a 2-1 loss on August 19th, 2010, and Roger Levesque scored in the 17th minute, according to Wikipedia.
Okay, well, that's not what Jackson says. And that's not what Sam Springbob says. This is why we have to get the answer from you before the freaking show starts, for crying out loud. So he's saying it was Freddie Montero, but we'll double check and make sure we have the right answer. Yeah, because he's saying it was Freddie Montero in 2010 against a team from El Salvador, Isidro Metapon. Does that not sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
How much tequila have you been drinking getting ready for this game, Schmetzer? What the hell's going on over there? Brian Schmetzer is with us on the radio show. What did you learn about this Pumas team, though, in the first match that you can now take with you tomorrow?
That they've got a striker that is in a really good run of form. And, you know, he's on fire. Deneno, that's his name. He's scored a couple goals on Sunday to put them into their playoffs down in Liga MX. You know, didn't start the game because they were resting him. He comes on the game in the 60th minute. He scores in the 64th minute. He scores again in the 68th minute. They ended up winning 2-1, puts them into the playoffs.
Yep.
He's on fire. Scored the goal against us, the two goals, the penalty kick, and the header goal. So we got to stop him. That's goal number one.
Well, like you said, you mentioned he was hot coming in. So you were obviously prepared for him. Do you have to even change up that initial preparation?
Well, no. I think we just have to execute better. I think that's to me what it comes down to is, you know, just our execution of the game plan. Again, I thought maybe in attack we could have been a little bit better, you know, a little more patient. In defense, yeah, we messaged it, we showed the film, this is what they're good at, but you know, you got to execute.
Okay, we have to get a ruling from you here now on this trivia question, Brian, okay? Because Jackson is telling us that Wikipedia is wrong, that it was Freddie Montero on July 28th of 2010. So you have to make a decision here, Coach.
I would go with Jackson because I could have been looking at, you know, they did the years of, you know, 2009, 10, 10, 11. Okay. You know, maybe I goofed that up.
Well, so, the real question is, do you trust Jackson more than you trust Wikipedia?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, then we'll give it to Sam Springbob, who says it was Freddie Montero against the El Salvador team in 2010. Hey, real quick, what do you want from the crowd tomorrow night, man?
Well, I know what I'm going to get. I don't have to ask. I don't have to ask, Softy. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere. You know, everybody's been talking about it now for a full week. You know, ticket sales, Marshawn, you guys. I know you guys are doing a live show down at Jimmy's, I believe.
Yep, yep.
Everybody's getting into this, so I know the fans are going to bring it. It's going to be a great evening, good soccer game, good fans, good atmosphere. I just hope we can win.
Well, I was going to ask you two things. Number one, if you win, do I have permission to storm the field and tackle you? Number one. And number two, if you win this game, and you know what? I'm only asking you this question because you're on the phone and we're not doing it in person, therefore you can't slap the crap out of me. If you win this game, how the hell do you give a crap about Dallas on Saturday?
Well, that's a great question.
Well, we're emotional highs and lows are part of pro sports. This is going to be a tough one either way. I mean, look, the Dallas game is going to be a tough one either way. We're either going to be on a real high and it's a good thing, or it's a low and, you know, we're going to suck on Saturday. But that's why we got the young kids to play a few minutes on Saturday and get us back up on the horse, and then we'll bring the veterans on and try and start our league season up again.
God, we love you.
This is a massive deal for the club.
Hey, in the words of Dennis Hopper and Hoosiers, go kick their butt tomorrow night. All right, we'll be there. Can't wait to see it. Best of luck, and we'll talk in a week,
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
You bet. Brian Schmetzer with us. So Brian says he was wrong. How about that? I mean, he trusts Jackson more than he trusts Wikipedia.
I would, too.
I guarantee it. Wikipedia is wrong about a lot of stuff. I know that firsthand because I made that mistake when I interviewed Billy Dee Williams at Comic-Con when he was Lando Calrissian. There was a thing in there about him doing some commercial, and it was totally incorrect. And he called me. He's like, what the hell's a Wikipedia? So he had no idea what I was talking about. So Sam Springbob wins the tickets for tomorrow. VenueKings.com has tickets for $49, by the way, on the website. Be sure and use code Softy at checkout for little bit of a discount. We got a lot to get to. Daniel Jeremiah going to recap the NFL draft for us as well, courtesy of TroyWins.com at 6:20 tonight, right here on Softy and Dick on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines on a Tuesday night right here on Softy and Dick, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
You son of a... I sat there and go, is this live?
VenueKings.com can get you in the door for the Sounders and Pumas tomorrow for under $50. How about that? Do not miss the match of the century at Lumen Field tomorrow for the CONCACAF Champions League Championship. Jump on the web and use code SOFTY at checkout at venuekings.com. NBA basketball, Boston looking to even things up with Milwaukee. Celtics lead the Bucks right now, 88-71, 8:46 left to go in the fourth quarter. Jaylen Brown so far for Boston with 28. Giannis has 24. Again, Boston 88, Milwaukee 71, mid-fourth quarter. Golden State, Memphis in game two of that series at 6:30.
NBA news today. Miami's Tyler Hero has won the Sixth Man of the Year award, and the Hawks have signed safety Josh Jones out of free agency. He was a second-round pick of the Packers in 2017.
Baseball scores from around the league. Diamondbacks lead the Marlins 5-0, bottom seven. Rangers doubling up the Phillies 6-3, top of the seventh from Philadelphia. Mets blank of the Braves 3-0, top ninth from Queens, actually. I almost said the Bronx, from Queens. Twins lead Baltimore 5-2, top six from Camden. And the Yankees, the New York Yankees, are looking for an 11-game winning streak, and they lead Baltimore 3-1 right now. Toronto, in the top of the seventh.
U.S. government now classifies WNBA star Brittany Griner as wrongfully detained by the Russian government. Will no longer wait for her case to play out in court. They will seek to negotiate her return after she was arrested in a Russian airport for attempting to fly with vape cartridges containing hashish oil, which is punishable in Russia for up to 10 years in prison.
That was a long story. Holy cow.
It was. Well, you kind of have to give the background.
Football team, defensive back Jacoby Covington's in the transfer portal. You knew that yesterday. Today, they find out the running back Caleb Berry also entering the transfer portal. Would you like to talk to one of the Seahawks draft picks right now? Let's do it. Look who's on the radio show with us, folks.
Second and long. Back to pass. Willingham, man open. Caught. Spins out. 5-4-3.
Touchdown.
Touchdown. That's Young. He'll take it in to the land of milk and honey. Willingham finds Derek Young, his 12th touchdown of the season. Wow.
You know, I don't know who the radio play-by-play voice is for Lenore Ryan football, but that guy's pretty good, whoever he is.
Think Rabel will use the land of milk and honey?
He better. Somebody's got to get that to Steve Rabel, because joining us right now on the radio show, it's funny, I could have sworn we just talked to this guy. Seventh round draft pick, number 233 overall, out of Lenore Ryan in North Carolina. Wide receiver Derek Young is with us on the radio show. Derek, how are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and be honest about what happened today. So we talked to Derek about 4 hours ago, and we had phone problems throughout the entire conversation. We couldn't use the interview. So first of all, man, good on you for calling us back.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, dude. And then second of all, we apologize for ruining your Tuesday night and having to talk to idiots like us twice in one day. So thank you for doing that.
No problem.
Well, let's find out about you. I mean, I'd never heard of Lenore Ryan College until now. Tell us about how you ended up there. Where did you grow up? And what's life like in North Carolina at Lenore Ryan University?
Okay, born and raised in Raleigh, North Carolina. I went to school at Middle Creek High School and wasn't heavily recruited coming out of high school. Only had four Division II offers, Lenore Ryan being one of them. And I felt like Lenore Ryan was the best fit for me and chose to go there. It's in Hickory, North Carolina, about 45 minutes away from the mountains. Not much to do there, which allowed me to stay focused during my 5 years there. But won two conference championships there and made it deep in the playoffs twice. So really not too much to do out there. It's a private PWI school, roughly about 2,000 students, really small, about the same size as my high school. So mostly everybody there were athletes, pretty much.
Got it.
Grow up a Panther fan out there in North Carolina, or was there another team you attached yourself to?
I really never been a fan of a team. I always just been a fan of, like, a specific player. So, like, growing up, my favorite player was Ray Lewis, so I guess you could say I rooted for the Ravens.
I got you. Well, that's fine. I mean, he's a hell of a player, no question about it. But let's talk about your acumen, your skills as a wide receiver, because I see a fairly big dude listed at 6'3", 220, and man, receivers are getting bigger every single year in the NFL. Is there a guy that you've tried to kind of model your game after? Anybody you've tried to kind of maybe shadow a bit in the National Football League?
My favorite receiver is Julio Jones. I feel like he's like him being the size he is and running the routes the way he does. Like, not a lot of people that size can do that, and he makes it look really easy. So that's who I try to model my game after.
What caused you to blossom from being a lightly recruited guy out of high school to a guy that not only made the NFL but was drafted in the NFL?
Well, I had a former teammate play with him for 3 years, Kyle Duggar. He got drafted 2 years ago by the Patriots in the second round. He played safety. But all the scouts would come in to see him, and they would see me and pretty much say, who's that guy right there? Because I was, you know, the size I am and running the way I did, you know, I kind of like caught their eye a little bit. So after he left, you know, they came back to see where I was at, and it just kept coming and kept coming. And my name started getting out there. It was on the freaks list 2 years back to back. So that's pretty much how I got my name out there.
Well, let's talk about that freaks list for a second. Derek Young, wide receiver, taken in the seventh round by the Seahawks on Saturday at a Lenoir Ryan, a private school in North Carolina, 6'3", 220-pound wide receiver. Tell me about that. Why do you think you landed on the freaks list? If I were interviewing you, or if somebody said, hey, you know, what's so special about Derek Young? If I were asking you, why should we draft you? What would you tell us?
I'm just an athletic freak. My nickname is Derek the Freak. That's what a few of my teammates called me. It's just my jumping, my leaping ability. I used to, like, I didn't jump 40 at my pro day, but I've gone on record to jump 42-inch vertical, 11-7 broad jump. I have 10-inch hands, and I'm pretty strong upper body as well with the bench press, as I did 22 reps at my pro day. So just a lot of numbers that just fly off the charts at you when you're looking at it, and that's how I ended up on the freaks list.
Well, I think you'll always be tied with Bo Melton, because same position, same round by the same team in the same draft. So have you had a chance to reach out to Bo yet, and had you ever heard of Bo Melton before draft day?
Yes, we've chopped it up a little bit. We have exchanged numbers, and yes, I've heard of him. I pretty much, you know, watched all the receivers that were in the draft. You know, being that I'm a D2 guy, I always, you know, wanted to, you know, watch the games that were on TV, being that they don't really play D2 games on ESPN or anything like that. So I've seen a couple of his games, and he's definitely a great player.
Well, your numbers, man, it's not just about catching the ball. You know, Dick mentioned, I think, your senior numbers the first time on the ground, but 88 runs, 658 yards, 8 touchdowns in the career. That's over 7.5 yards a carry. How much do you think you can bring to this football team as a runner as well?
Whatever the coach needs me to do to help win, I'm a selfless player, so if, you know, Coach Carroll needs me to, you know, take a few carries a game, I could do that as well as, you know, catching the ball. So I feel like the more you can do, the more value you bring to the game.
If I had you in the huddle and I said, all right, you got to run one route here that you know you're going to get open and you know you're going to catch the football to win the football game, what route do you run?
Post
route.
I love it. All right. Well, we need that. We certainly need that in Seattle. Have you had a chance yet to hear from DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, or any other members of the Seahawk football team yet, man?
I haven't got a chance to talk to DK yet, but I'm sure once I get out there in Seattle, I'll talk to him in person. But Tyler Lockett did tweet at me on Twitter, and I responded to him. So those are definitely two guys that, you know, I want to learn everything I can from them, because, you know, they've established themselves in the NFL, and I just want to learn as much as I can.
So when we come out to training camp, or when the fans see you on TV for the first time in a preseason game, what's going to jump out to them about watching you play on the field? What are you kind of most proud of? What attribute are you most proud of?
I have a high motor, and I'm a physical receiver. I like to, you know, be physical with the cornerbacks that are guarding me, since I'm pretty big, and I just play really hard.
Yeah. Well, first of all, do we have permission to call you Derek the Freak? Is that okay?
Yes, sir. That's fine with me.
Love it.
Yeah, and my nickname is Weirdo, by the way. So you can feel free to call me Weirdo if you want. But Derek the Freak is with us on the radio show. You're coming up here soon. I know from Minicamp, man, if you're not playing football, if you're not practicing with your new employer in the Seahawks, what is Derek the Freak doing off the field? What are your hobbies, man?
Chilling. I like watching shows on Netflix. Like binge-watching shows whenever I get a chance to. Right now I'm watching Ozark. I know I'm a little behind. That show's pretty old. But Ozark is a show that I started not too long ago, so that's what I'm watching right now.
I love it. Well, we will not ruin it for you and let you watch the rest of that show, because the last guy you want to piss off is a guy called Derek the Freak, by the way.
That's
so
right.
You finish up that show, and then when we're done, we can compare notes and talk about it. So listen, man, great stuff. Fired up to have you in town. Fired up to have you on the radio show. Looking forward to seeing you out there. Best of luck, and we'll talk soon, man.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for having me.
By the way, we had some phone problems. Can you do this again for us? No, I'm totally kidding. Derek, we'll talk down the road. Thanks, dude. See you, man.
No problem.
All right, Derek Young, Derek the Freak. And again, just, I mean, it shows you a little bit about him, right, that we actually talked to him like 4 hours ago. And the phone, I mean, it could have been our fault on our end, and I'm certain it was, by the way, was a disaster. And we just couldn't use the interview. So we texted the Hawks, and they said, hey, we'll text him back. And he said, no problem, I'll call back in again at 6 o'clock tonight. So awesome to have him on. And look, I mean, there's two guys in this draft that clearly the Seahawks in a lot of ways have taken because of their unbelievable physical attributes. One is Tariq Woolen, the kid from Texas San Antonio, and the other one is this guy right here, because the numbers don't jump off the page about Derek Young, but the athletic attributes certainly do.
I think we need a freak off between Derek the Freak and Tariq the Freak.
Get your freak on with those
guys.
Get
your freak on. I think they should sell tickets to it, and we just do a combine between those two guys, head-to-head.
Well, that's fine by me. I mean, I just know this, that with my shirt off, I will never look like either one of those guys, ever. And here's the thing. You know, Millen was on the air yesterday talking about Tariq Woolen, and it was amazing how people got, like, mad at him for saying what he said about Tariq Woolen. And what he said yesterday, first of all, he said, from a physical perspective, a lot of the attributes, the vertical leap, the 40 time, three cone drill, whatever is, he's got 33 5/8 inch, I think, arms, the hand size, 100th percentile,
right,
and a lot of that stuff. He also said that he's never seen a rookie draft pick in all the years he's been covering the Seahawks draft less prepared to play in the NFL right now than Tariq Woolen. Said he's the biggest project he's ever seen with Pete Carroll and John Schneider. Bigger than J.R. Sweezy, bigger than Christian Sicoli, and bigger than George Fant. And people got, like, upset about that, that was some kind of an insult that this guy was not showing great tape, and the only reason why the Hawks would draft him is because of his physical attributes. Well, I mean, who cares why they drafted him?
Well, and I think that...
And by the way, Daniel Jeremiah was also on, and you'll hear him again at 6:20 tonight, and, you know, he said his tape isn't good.
And I think the fans that responded on Twitter, I think they misinterpreted what Hugh said and thought that Hugh thinks he's going to be a bust.
No.
And that's not at all what Hugh said.
He's just talking about what he is
now. He's not ready to play right now.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, if Pete Carroll can do the Pete Carroll magic, which he has done before with cornerbacks, you've got all the tools there. All the physical tools are there. If Pete can hone him into a football player, because right now he's just an athlete, then you could have something.
No, absolutely. I mean, and look, if it doesn't work out, it's a fifth-round draft pick, right? No harm, no foul. I mean, I know there's been a lot of guys like Richard Sherman, by the way, who were fifth-round draft picks that, you know, end up, you know, panning out, and guys that were even drafted later and undrafted free agents. But I don't know what people want out of a guy like Hugh Millen. Like, you know, Jordan Miller's mom was getting upset that he said he's not ready to play in the NFL. He said his tape is bad. You know, he looks awful.
Well, would we want Hugh just to come on and just caress every Seahawk draft pick and say, oh, I love this guy, love this pick, this guy's great.
I want a scouting report on
it. Of course.
I want a scouting report on what the guy looks like. And he is telling us that a guy that's 6'4", weighs 205 pounds with 33 5/8 inch arms, ran a 4.26 40 with a 42-inch vert. I mean, there's like hardly anybody on the planet at that size can run that fast.
Oh, absolutely.
But he's not a good corner right now. I mean, he was sending me pictures. He was sending you pictures, watching video where he's getting smoked by people at schools like Western Kentucky. So his tape shows a very, very raw piece of clay that has to be coached into a quality defensive player that is not a liability in the NFL. If you threw him out there right now to play cornerback, he wouldn't last five plays. Mm-hmm. He'd get toasted. But as you said, maybe this is the best spot for him to get coached up.
If he could play corner right now with those measurables, he wouldn't have gone in the fifth round.
Absolutely.
He would have been one of the first corners off the board.
No, totally. So, look, he's excited about the pick. He likes the pick.
Sure.
He loves the upside, but just says, again, there's never been a guy that he – and he's watched tape on every single draft pick the Hawks have made. This is after the draft, breaking it down. He's never seen a guy less prepared to play in the NFL right now than him.
Redshirt, man, that's what the practice squad's for.
Exactly. And now the practice squad's even bigger than it used to be. So you can hide more guys. All right, we're going to break. Daniel Jeremiah. We'll get his thoughts on Tariq Woolen, his thoughts on the Seahawk draft. What the hell happened to Nakobe Dean dropping from Georgia? What's next with Baker Mayfield? What about the Hawks passing on all these quarterbacks? Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. You can find him on Twitter, at MoveTheSticks, courtesy of TroyWins.com. He will join us and recap the entire weekend, including giving us his thoughts on the Hawks draft next right here on 93.3 KJRFM.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.